Hi, everyone. It's Louise from HDSA, and we're trying something new today. This is the first episode of HDSA's first ever podcast. And we're going to do these podcasts on a monthly basis where I get to talk with different leaders in the HD community and bring to you different news and updates about what's going on around the HD community, what HDSA is working on, and what we're thinking about as leaders committed to our mission to improve the lives of everyone affected by HD. So over the course of these episodes, hopefully I'll introduce you to some amazing folks working on behalf of the HD community, some of our volunteer leaders, some of our staff, and of course, families affected by Huntington's disease, so that we can continue to learn and share and raise the voice of the journey that we're all on, which is to help find better treatments and cures and reduce the burden for Huntington's disease. So today's episode is going to feature two interviews. One's kind of a conversation with HDSA's Chief Mission Officer, Eric Johnson. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things ahead for HDSA for this year, some of the things on our calendar for this month. And then the second half of this podcast is going to be an interview that I'll do with our chair of the board, Teresa Schreier. And so get a sense of her leadership and her vision as she moves into the new chair role for HDSA's Board of Trustees. We envision this format to take us about half an hour, but again, it's a new ride for us here at HDSA, and we're just so glad that you've signed on to listen and be a part of this journey. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and welcome guest number one. The first ever to these conversations, Dr. Eric Johnson, who joined HDSA about 15 months ago or so to be the chief mission officer here at the organization. And Eric had known HDSA for a while in a lot of different roles. So, Eric, first, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. And thanks for putting the pressure on by highlighting the fact that this is the first time and I'm the first guest, and now I really can't screw it up.
Yeah, you know, I need a partner in crime on this one, so we're going to see where this takes us, right? So it's you and me talking, and for better or for worse, we're going to see where this leads us. But I've been with HDSA now for almost 14 years, and I've known you for like 13 of those. Do you remember when we first met?
I'm getting older. The memory's not as good as it used to be. But yes, I will say it was, God, around the time of one of our first times introducing the HD Parity Act into Congress.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I think, wasn't there an in-person lobbying opportunity in D.C. back in like 2011?
There was. We had a big day on the Hill back when Congress still welcomed people to its hallways to, you know, without fear of COVID, to have folks come in and talk about different issues that mattered to the American public. And obviously, you know, the HD community has been loud at asking our congressional leaders to do some things to help HD families get care faster. But yeah, so you would have been there. I actually remember seeing you at a Team Hope walk in Orange County, I think in 2010. And I remember you as the guy who was running between different tables to make sure everybody had what they needed for that event. So, you know, and I think that's what inspired me to say, he's a classic volunteer who will get more involved if I ask him.
I'm so glad that that's your memory, and it wasn't one of the years where I had my cranky older dog who was letting people know that she didn't want people around her. So I'm glad that that's the memory that you have.
No, it was a happy memory. It was a huge community event, and you were volunteering and helping out families. And then I asked you to do more. So can you just, you know, for the listeners who don't know you and I, talk to us about how you got involved with the HD community.
You know, I'm thinking back. I first got involved with Huntington's disease when I was still in grad school and working on my doctorate. And I got a job coordinating a research study at UCLA, which was the Predict HD study. That was my first introduction to HD outside of a textbook and was a really amazing opportunity. And like I said, I was still in grad school at the time. And when I completed my doctorate, I talked to my boss and said, hey, I'd like to do more. What more could I do here? So I actually got a clinical position at UCLA working in the HDSA Center of Excellence there, seeing patients and families, and did so for about 18 years. During that time, and going back to about the time you and I met, was when I started getting involved with the HDSA Board of Trustees. So I joined the Board of Trustees in, ooh, goodness, what year was it? It was when the annual convention was in Minneapolis, was my first board meeting. And so I got to be a part of that group and worked on a number of committees, eventually served as the chair of the Board of Trustees for a couple of years, which was an amazing experience. And, you know, after that all wrapped up, I was going back to work at UCLA when there was an opportunity, when the position of chief mission officer opened, for me to think about what more I might be able to do, for folks living with HD. And it seemed like a logical and fantastic opportunity to keep working with a group of people that I've really gotten to know over the years and truly to see if I can do a little bit more than what I was doing, you know, working one-on-one or with families when I was in clinic. So that's how I got here.
Yeah, that is how you got here. And 2011 was the Minneapolis convention. So I was trying to go back. My first convention was Arizona in 2010. So I was trying to count forward. And is it different being on the staff team as compared to like being on the board, or like how is it different? Because I know it's different, but like how is it different?
Yeah, I mean it's totally different. I mean that's the short answer. The longer answer is it has really given me an opportunity to work closely with folks I've gotten to know over the years. Right, like as a volunteer, getting to know the national staff, getting to know the folks that are out working in the field, it's really been a nice shift to be able to work alongside those folks. Kind of really getting into the nitty gritty of things that I may have just seen from that board perspective before. I mean, I think I had a really good, I had an additional perspective than someone else who might have come into this job just because I'd been with the agency or the organization as a volunteer for so long. But still, once you get into it and really, you know, the amount of work that is done to support and develop the programs, the services, the amount of effort that it takes to fund these things and to support the volunteers who are leaders in the community all across the U.S., really have gotten to see that in a different light, and it's really been an incredible opportunity in the last, you know, 15 months or so that I've been here.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, right? You know, and I say that from the perspective of when you're a volunteer, when you're a when you're a clinician, there are different sort of roles and opportunities for you to sort of look into what the organization is doing. But, you know, the HDSA team is pretty small, right? You know, we're 26 people right now, and we try to be as much as we can to everybody who asks us for anything. And it's a juggling act, and that's hard. And I think we all feel that. And certainly, I mean, you're leading the mission services of the organization. So, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to the centers of excellence or our research programs, advocacy, education, social workers, like all of those big things, when the board or when I or when families say what's going on with this program, it all comes back to you. So how do you work with the team to not be overwhelmed by that?
You know, I think you hit the main point right there. It's while it is my title, I work with and as part of a really amazing team, right? The things that you touched on and things that, you know, are beyond that, right? Our disability program, our youth programs and services, our support group network. Like, there's so many different moving parts, but the amazing thing is there are these people that are attached to each of those different programs and parts. And folks that really care about the people that they are working for and with. And, you know, that inspires me because, you know, coming from a clinical care perspective, it was always about the person in front of me, right? Like, I was going to do what I had to do to try to help that person. And I say that deliberately because as much as I wish I could say you are absolutely going to help that person, you're trying to do the best to make their situation as manageable, as good, as best as possible, knowing that it might not be perfect and trying to balance that in your own head, right? Like, I'm not going to have the quote unquote magic answer for this person, but I might have some suggestions that can help them. And I think that's something that the mission team really embodies is we're going to give you everything we got to try to help you as best we can in this situation that you're dealing with. And it's inspiring to be around people like that. And I want to emphasize, you know, as awesome as it is to lead and be a part of the mission team, it's the larger staff team that supports all of that too, because, you know, everyone on the ACSA staff, and I've seen this for years, right? Like, when we're at convention, if something happens, people spring into action. People are doing things that are outside their quote unquote job description all the time. And that kind of energy really helps motivate. I mean, it's hard because we can't do everything and we don't necessarily do everything perfectly, but that's reality and we work with it as best we can. And it's awesome to do so with this entire team. And, you know, for the folks that we know in the community, the volunteer leaders who are all out there doing this, the social workers who are out there doing this, our clinicians who are out there doing this, you know, it's really great to know that so many people are motivated by the same reason, which is we care about people who are living with this disease and we want to do as much as we can to help.
It occurs to me how nice it is to have a mental health professional on staff at HDSA, because we all have to struggle really with the fact that we can't fix this, right? You know, I think every day there's a conversation with somebody that, you know, involves what's the simple solution. And there are no simple solutions in Huntington's disease. And so we all struggle with that as, you know, as members of the HDSA team in whatever role we serve, is that, you know, we're trying to do as much as we can against you know, a formidable foe at this point. And that's hard. So, you know, one of the things that we lean on is the human connection, the sort of humanity of our society, of HDSA as a society of people that come together and help one another navigate this. I would say science is another thing that we lean on, but in terms of the human connection, that's been really hard the last few years with COVID and not being able to be together the way we're used to, the way that maybe feeds our soul. So last year we had the first face-to-face convention in a few years in Atlanta. We've just announced that we're going to have, you know, a full convention. And I say no caps on attendance. We want everybody there in New Orleans, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd this year. And we've already got people signing up. And what are you excited about when you think about the New Orleans convention, Eric? I know you've never been to New Orleans, so you just want the food, right?
Yeah, but okay, that's a part of it, but that's what, you know, the days right before convention are for and the days right after. Because while we're there, I am so looking forward to having, you know, just a packed room, having a packed hotel of people who are there for the HDSA convention, because even before joining the team, the convention was always one of my favorite things to do. It is, it's a weekend that is chock full of information, opportunity to network, some actual fun occurs while you're there.
There's really a lot of laughter thing. At convention. There's a lot.
Oh, for sure. And oh my God, like I'm just thinking of the NYI talent show, which is, you know, a regular occurrence, and to be able to see it happen, not virtually again last year, was really great. Seeing it happen in the room again was really cool. But just also the full spectrum of emotions that as an attendee I've experienced, and as an attendee who, you know, comes from a mental health profession, observes in the room, right? Like you get to see people who are connecting with folks that they've never met before, but are starting with a mutual level of understanding that they might not get when they're home in their own community, because all of a sudden they're talking to someone else who gets it, right? Like someone else who knows what they are living and what their experience is. And, you know, I'll share one of the people I met really early on in my HD career told me, we were talking after convention. She's like, you know what? It's like a family reunion. She's like, I'm not necessarily related to all of them, but this is a family reunion for me. Every time I go, I see people that I know. And even if I'm meeting new folks, we already know them. This is family. So that has stayed with me. And that's something that I'm looking forward to in New Orleans in June, because to not have, you know, kind of the limits that we had last year, which, you know, we were doing things right and we were being thoughtful and appropriate, and things have changed, right? Like the situation in the world has changed. So it's all exciting that we get to come back and say, doors are open, folks, come on in, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think just having everybody together, having that full community event, we do accomplish a lot. You know, as you mentioned, the education, there are lots of science updates. There's the National Youth Alliance Day and their talent show and activities. The social workers come together to learn, our volunteer and chapter leaders. So it's a huge event. And it actually reminds me a little bit of our strategic plan. So just a reminder, folks may not know that HDSA introduced a new strategic plan in 2022. And it's a five-year plan, right, that guides our decision-making about how we invest our resources to make a difference in our mission. And we've had strategic plans over the years. Every 5 years, they renew in a way that allows us to challenge where the organization's going. And I can look back over the, you know, last 11 years of strategic plans and see how we've grown as an organization and how much more we're able to do. But I digress. When I think about the current strategic plan, it's kind of boiled down to care, cure, and community. There's lots that we need to do in each of those areas. But how does convention maybe tap into that triangle of goals?
Why I'm pausing is because I'm like, oh my God, because it totally does. But that's not enough of an answer. I think it taps into all three of those goals because of the different things that happen, right? Like you were mentioning, there are so many different things happening over the course of what is basically a weekend, right? We've got our HCSA social worker network coming together, right? These are social workers who are in our chapters and regions, as well as social workers at our HCSA centers of excellence, coming together for a professional training day. Not only are they getting education, but they're getting a chance to network with their peers, you know, talk to other folks who are doing the work that they're doing. While that's happening, we've got a leadership day training. So our volunteer leaders who are the community leaders, right? These are the folks that are out in the different states or counties or cities, whatever their definition that brings them together as a chapter or affiliate is. At the same time, the National Youth Alliance, young people who are living with or affected by HD are coming together. So that's the day before convention. That's the day, you know, before the kickoff event, and that's already going on. Then over the course of convention, we have so much educational opportunities, talking about what it's like to live with HD, what it's like to care for someone with HD, what are some basics for someone who might be new to Huntington's disease, what is going on in research, what are things that people should be aware of that are happening in clinical trials. All of these things and more are covered in the course of 2 short days. The community aspect of the strategic plan, I think, plays out brilliantly at convention. This is when people get to be together. They get to meet folks that might be in their own community that they don't know until they see them at the convention. And then they've got someone they can connect with and they go back home. Or they make those, they establish those relationships that you stay in touch with someone through Facebook or, you know, phone calls or whatever. Like, you connect with that person who's got a similar situation to yours. So establishing those individual relationships in community, but also that sense of belonging to something bigger. So yeah, Care Cure Connect. Oh, and let's go one step further with care. We're going to be bringing together the directors from our HDSA Centers of Excellence for the day after convention to have a full day meeting talking about what they do in their multidisciplinary care clinics, working with people who are living with Huntington's. So we're bringing together so many different aspects of the HD community, so many different constituents from all of the HDSA programs and services to come together, talk, share ideas, learn, challenge us to do more, right? Like, all of this is going to happen. So, man, convention and strategic plan are basically like, it just explodes when we're there in New Orleans. So
it explodes. But I like something that you pointed out in sort of that last description was just how active these groups are, right? It's not just, convention's not just about getting together. That's super important. But it also allows time for folks who may not have the opportunity to roll up their sleeves and do some problem solving around things that we know are critical. You know, we continue to look for ways to support, you know, access to diagnosis of Huntington's disease and genetic testing and family planning and supporting the entire journey of a family affected by HD. And all of that sort of seeps into our convention program. Eric, I'm aware that we could keep talking forever. We've been talking on and off for 14 years, so we could make this a really long podcast. But one thing that as we've kicked off the recruitment and the registration for this year's convention, you know, we're already seeing that about 50% of the people who come to convention are first-time attendees. And this is an amazing statistic that when we look at the data, because we really do look at the data of who's using our services and who we're connecting with, for 38 years now for our convention, the you know, more than half of the attendance is first-time attendees. So, you know, I'd love your thoughts on, for a first-time attendee to convention, like what's the one thing that you hope they take away from a connection like this to HDSA?
That was a long exhale, because to try to consolidate it to one thing is pretty near impossible. I hope that people who are coming to convention for the first time, right? Like who are for whatever reason, right? Like, they're new to the disease. It's the first time they're able to do this. Whatever their life situation is that allows them to come at this time, I hope that that person, those people, not going to do one thing, sorry, that those folks walk away from convention feeling like they got something from it, whether that was learning something that they didn't know before, whether that was connecting to their local chapter or affiliate, whether that was getting to know a staff member at HDSA that they've talked to on the phone multiple times, but getting to see that person in person and recognize that connection that they've built that way. I hope they walk away with a sense of what's happening beyond just that weekend in New Orleans, right? Like, all of the different things that are available and how they might be able to access them. And ultimately, I hope that first-time attendee walks away knowing that HDSA is here. You might not need something from HDSA all the time. You might not want something from HDSA all the time, but HDSA is here and HDSA is working. HDSA is constantly, you know, engaging in HD research, whether we support it ourselves or by paying attention to what's going on in the larger community. HDSA is here, you know, helping people get through their disability claim or more often than not appealing a disability denial. Or HDSA is here putting together educational resources that you might pick up and not think a whole lot about a flyer that you get at a walk, but then, you know, you look through your bag a month later and you read it and you're like, oh my God, this is important information for us. HDSA is here when you've got a young person in your family who's just starting to learn about what HD really means and means to them. And you can say, hey, you know, there's a whole group of other people like you, and there's these youth social workers who can help you. HDSA is here. It's that center of excellence in your community or 3 hours away, if that's the case, but they're there. It's that social worker who answers the phone or leads a support group. It's all of the different things that are happening. And so maybe that's how I'll sum it up as one thing. I hope they know that HDSA is here.
And I hope they know that they're not alone. So much for me, yeah. When people come to convention, especially that first time, is seeing on their faces the recognition that they've just joined a community. They've been welcomed by a family who understands. And that's what convention means to me. But all right, Eric, thank you so much for your time and conversation. I am sure we'll do this again. This is just the first of a series, I'm told. But now we need to move on to part two of our podcast. And so for folks who are interested in learning more about the HDSA convention, all the stuff that Eric talked about, all of our programs, all of our resources, and the registration link for convention, as well as scholarships, are on hdsa.org. That's hdsa.org/convention. It'll take you right to the convention page. But now I'm pleased to introduce you to our board chair, Teresa Schreier. She's going to correct me and say it's Schreier. However I say it, I'm going to be wrong. But let's listen to that conversation. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you so much.
All right, now it's time for our first special guest here on HDSA's podcast. I am joined today by HDSA's Chair of the Board, Teresa Schreier. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Louise. How are you today?
I'm great. I am so glad that you've carved out a little bit of time to talk with me and continue this first episode of the HDSA podcast, where we're really just introducing our listeners to who the leaders of the organization are. I had the pleasure of talking with Eric Johnson a little bit ago, and now I want to make sure that the folks know who you are as chair of the board. Before we get in a little bit to the sort of board role, do you want to tell us a little bit about how you came to the HDSA community?
Sure. So I'm part of an HD family, starting at my grandmother. My father, aunt, and two cousins have passed from HD in my lifetime, and then also have family members tied to my grandmother's brother and his family who also had HD and passed as well. So it's Huntington's disease has always been a part of my life. My grandmother was sick when I was born, so it's always been something that either was something maybe in my future, knowing that my dad had it, or something with my family that I've been watching them go through. And so the one thing I can do as part of that is take part in things to help us as a community. So that's my connection.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it does bring a lot to HDSA as an organization to have folks who know HD from the most personal level, in all levels of leadership for the organization. As I'm out talking with members of the community, I always say that HDSA is an organization of families for families, that were led by families. And I think that adds a lot of credibility, to who we are, and it also makes us stronger in what we do. But it's one thing to be part of an HD family. It's another thing to carve out the time to volunteer for HDSA and join the board. Why did you join the HDSA board? And talk to me or talk to us a little bit about being chair. Has it been a huge change?
Sure. So to kind of back up to joining the board, so I got interested in joining the board when I first was working as part of the CPAC committee and the with the group looking at the Center of Excellence applications. And in that conversation, there was, the board has approved this amount for the Center of Excellence program. And my brain went, who's this board we speak of? And so I found out more information about it and got some details and eventually was offered the opportunity to become part of the board. And being part of that has been just an amazing opportunity to see this group of people that have a passion for achieving our mission within HDSA and how it directly applies to how I want to use my time to help my own family, as well as all these other wonderful HD families that I've met along the way and the ones I haven't met as well. And then,
thank you. No, I was going to jump in and say CPAC, right? Like, no, it's a really awkward acronym. So it stands for the Center Program Education and Advisory Committee, I think. So CPAC oversees the Centers of Excellence program, and then being on the board and CPAC, it's all volunteers, right?
Yes, everyone is a volunteer in those committees. Yes.
That's great. Now, do you have any goals as chair of the HDSA?
Sure. I would like to be part of assisting in all the ways we need to achieve the goals of HDSA in our fight for our families. That's now actually number one. Whatever, you know, we need to do as the leaders, make sure, and I'm staying in lockstep with what needs we have and what we can do as the leadership team to help the mission and the vision. And then specifically to continue the great legacy of our former chairs who've done a great job of establishing where we're going to head in the next few years. But my goal is that hopefully, maybe during my tenure, we'll see some disease modifying treatments, which would be amazing to be part of as the chair. So taking us as an organization of where we are now into what we would need to be in that type of world would be an amazing part and goal to have.
Those are fantastic goals, and it would be amazing achievements for our community to bring those disease-modifying therapies to availability for the community quicker, as soon as possible. And we also have our strategic plan. How does the current strategic plan help support the goals that you've talked about?
I think the plan is exactly focused on that. I happen to be part of the group that worked on that as part of the board, and it was very intentional in looking at where we were hoping the world was going to go for us, knowing where we need to be, where we are today in taking care of our, I shouldn't say taking care of, but being there for our families with education and advocacy and our centers of excellence and all the other things we do. But then how we evolve as an organization if and when the science changes for us. And allowing us to look at our plan, it sets a space for today and for tomorrow.
Yeah, I always say it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And HDSA will keep pushing for that when to happen a lot sooner. So, Teresa, I know we don't have a lot of time left in this interview today, but I'd love your thoughts on somebody who might be newly connecting to HDSA. Maybe someone who's just discovered that HD is in their family. Maybe it's someone who has known that they have, that their family is impacted by Huntington's disease, but they've decided to reach out and maybe get more involved. What advice would you have for folks who are reaching out to HDSA for the first time?
Oh, I would say get involved with your local chapter or affiliate, and that's available on hdsa.org. There's a section for chapters affiliates, and those folks are our boots on the ground. We are, you know, that they're out there getting our message out about what programs are available through HDSA and their education opportunities. They're helping us with advocacy, all kinds of things. That's the first thing I would say. Get involved. Just reach out to the chapter affiliate. The people will be loved to talk to you about what's out there.
That's the community that you mentioned from the strategic plan,
yes.
Right? So connecting with that community. And thank you for mentioning the website. All of this information that Teresa has talked about, including our strategic plan, is on hdsa.org. We're also talking a lot about the convention, really excited to have a full convention back in New Orleans this year. All of that information is on the website. Teresa, what can we expect in New Orleans?
Oh, I think it's going to be wonderful to have the ability to have everybody back in person. Last year was fun, getting a little bit stepping our feet back into it, but to have the ability for families to come out and talk to all the different, talk to the people who are there, the community that we are, it's so important. It's one of the things I always tell my husband is the one place in the world where everybody understands my story, which isn't true of the everyday population. And so you can get people who understand. There's scientists there. There's community members. There are companies who are helping to look for those disease-modifying treatments we're talking about. It's just a great, great event.
Convention is special. It is. Well, Teresa, thank you again for all that you do for HD families, for your leadership of HDSA, and I'm lucky I get the opportunity to work with you almost every day, helping to make sure that we are achieving our mission. So it's an honor and a pleasure to get to spend time with you leading this organization and to continue this journey as we bring forward improved care and treatments for HD and strengthen our community. So thank you again for your time today. And thank you, everyone, for listening to our first HDSA podcast. More to come as 2023 moves forward. We're so glad that you found us. And please check out hdsa.org for more information about the work of the Huntington's Disease Society of America. And we look forward to talking with you again soon. Thanks, everyone.